board. I'm hoping that you can hear me. My name is Winfield Clark, mostly known as Benny Clark. For 5 years now, I've been coming, this is Jim and Cynthia, on Wednesday nights up in the auditorium for an hour of meditation, followed by a coffee break and then an open discussion. The emphasis is on Buddhist meditation, but we welcome anyone who practices any form of silent meditation to join us, and I've encouraged all of you to join us occasionally whenever you can. We're now meeting every Wednesday night, and it's from 7 to 8 in the evening. So the topic today is mindfulness meditation. It is a practice which is done in some form or another by every major religious tradition. The topic of meditation is quite vast. There are hundreds, literally hundreds, of forms of meditation. So what we're talking about today is a very simple and straightforward form of meditation called mindfulness meditation. Perhaps to start with, I should say, I'm sure that some of you have tried meditation in the past, and perhaps you have an ongoing practice of meditation, in which case I hope you'll bear with us and following my introduction, Jim will lead us in a guided meditation. If you already do some form of meditation, please feel free to do that instead of what we're introducing here. For those of you who haven't had exposure to the practice of meditation, I'd like to start off by perhaps putting it in context. So they're really in the public consciousness, I think meditation really has started off on the wrong foot in the West. Meditation is usually, in the popular conception, a kind of relaxation technique, a way of withdrawing into a sort of peaceful, gauzy state of mind, where the world is shut out and your problems are not addressed. There's also the idea of perhaps getting into some sort of trance-like state where you really withdraw from what's happening. These are really serious misconceptions about meditation. Meditation is actually supposed to wake us up, put us more in touch with our own minds and with the world around us. Less of a misconception, but perhaps a sort of partial understanding of meditation, is the fact that in the medical professions in the past 10 or 15 years, meditation has become accepted as a way of treating people. But it's used primarily for stress reduction and perhaps for dealing with depression. Now, these are quite admirable outcomes, but they're really a very partial understanding of what meditation is supposed to do. The main point of meditation is really to learn how to stay present in our minds, to actually become aware of our thoughts in an ongoing way, rather than as what usually happens if we try to sit quietly with ourselves. Our minds skip around constantly, going into memories of the past, or plans or worries about the future. And really, very difficult to stay with any one train of thought for more than a few moments. Meditation is almost like a microscope, a way of looking at our minds. It's a very precise tool which has been developed over thousands of years. And it's an important tool for spiritual growth, which is how it has been used traditionally. The idea is that our minds can be trained to stay more present, to stay more in touch with what's actually happening. It really does take some training because, as we know, the world distracts us constantly. In the modern world particularly, no matter what environment you're in, there's television, radio, the internet, cell phones, iPods. I mean, we could all come up with our own list of things that sort of seduce us into entertainment and distraction. There are times, of course, when that's perfectly appropriate, but if you really are trying to stay with what's going on, distractions are hardly things you need to go looking for. They come to you. So it's rare that we stay focused for more than a few moments. Creative thought will sort of veer off on a tangent, really quite predictably. And meditation is a way to train the mind to stay focused, to be able to quite simply look at what's going on right now in our minds, and to stay with that without adding to it or manipulating it. Just letting the mind be as it is. It's a question of being rather than becoming. Usually we're trying to do something with our minds. We kind of ride shotgun on our thoughts and try to manipulate them and steer them towards specific goals. And even when we're focused on doing that, it's very difficult to stay with it for very long. Meditation is really based on the natural state of our mind, which is when we're not letting our minds race along, is actually at rest and quite calm and alert. There are many things going on in the mind simultaneously. I mean, when you think about it, we're processing millions of bits of information from moment to moment, just creating with our sense perceptions a vision of what the world is. It's all in our minds, of course. Not to say that it's not happening out here, but we're creating a coherent picture of it from moment to moment. But within that, there are two very important functions. Mindfulness is the ability to stay focused on a task that's in front of us. And awareness is more of a panoramic function of the mind, which keeps us in touch with our surroundings, even when we're focused on a task. I was thinking of an analogy of this, where my family cat at home sits on a table looking out the window at a bird feeder, and it's completely riveted, its attention is on the bird, its tail is twitching, it's right there, as a sort of huntress mentality. But I noticed that even as she's sitting there, her ears are turned backwards into the room, in case something important happens like the refrigerator door opening. And that's my view of an awareness. It's sort of wired into the mammalian brain, I think. We're very much like that, actually. We're not always aware that we're aware of our surroundings, obviously, but if something registers that's out of place, our attention goes to that immediately. So given that these are very natural functions of the mind, why is it so difficult to actually stay focused? And part of it is the distractions that I was talking about earlier. Our world is, with increasing intensity, adding more and more distractions every year. I've read that 500 years ago, how to say this, in one day we take in more information, new information, than a person living 500 years ago took in a year. I'm sure that's somewhat an approximation, but it makes some sense. So there are distractions, but even when we try to sit quietly, our minds really race along, skipping from one train of thought to the next. And beyond that, our emotions are in play. Our emotions well up and sweep our thoughts along with them. And behind that, all the time, there's a watcher, a sense of self that we carry with us, that really comments on everything that's happening and our place in it. Is this good for me? Is this bad for me? So we have an ongoing commentary, a narration of our lives and our thoughts. So meditation is a way to cultivate our minds to be able to sort of stay more focused in the face of all these distractions and interruptions. The Sanskrit word for this form of mindfulness meditation is shamatha, S-H-A-M-A-T-H-A. And it translates as something like peaceful abiding. This doesn't mean that kind of gauzy state of peace that's imposed. This isn't a way of peacefully ignoring what's going on. What it means is that the natural state of mind is itself calm and awake, so that if we train ourselves, we can touch that state of mind whenever we wish. But if our life has upheaval in it, that's what comes up in meditation. It isn't as though you meditate to escape what's going on. Turmoil comes up in meditation, but the idea is not to try to gloss it over or get rid of it. It's to really look at it, let it express itself, and then let it subside without feeding it in any way, without trying to manipulate it. Over time, this practice means that you can allow whatever comes up to come up naturally without distortion. And that's the sense in which it's peaceful abiding, that you get used to the whole range of your mind, the positive and the negative elements that are in all of us. It's a process of what's been called making friends with yourself. Just as in getting to know a friend, you accept their good and bad qualities. We need to do that with ourselves. We need to get very used to who we are in all its ramifications, and to become actually comfortable being in our own skin. It sounds paradoxical, but we need to actually make friends with ourselves. We've known ourselves for many years, but it is paradoxical that we're less tolerant of our own failings than we are of other people's many times. This natural clarity or sense of peaceful abiding is actually at times almost a religious experience when you touch into it. If we can let our racing minds, our chattering minds, subside for a moment, often the world breaks in a very intense and meaningful way, that we find ourselves suddenly really appreciating the sunset or the cool summer breeze. And it seems like heightened reality. Actually, that's just reality. It's that our normal discursive minds filter out a good deal of the intensity of what's happening. Until we really make friends with ourselves, we can't fully open up to other people. It's one of the important aspects of meditation is that we really need to start with ourselves. If we really want to help other people, we need to help ourselves first. There are further side benefits of meditation beyond just sort of opening up to the world, but one of them would be spontaneity. That normally we watch ourselves so intently, and so kind of focused on not making a mistake or not getting in our own way, that we do get in our own way. We actually block a good deal of the natural flow of things. So spontaneity is something that does come up. Another aspect of it would be creativity. That our normal discursive racing minds block a good deal of appreciation of what's going on. And there is a creative element in that that can be nurtured. Our sense perceptions become less blocked if we meditate, so that the world can become more actually be seen more vividly. It's not that the world wasn't vivid, it's just that we were blocking it. So colors and smells and tastes are appreciated more. And overall, they become kind of lighter and more energized. Over the years, I've met experienced meditators from many different traditions, Zen and Theravada and Vedanta. And as I said, this is not just Buddhist, it's many different religions have forms of meditation. And a trait that experienced meditators seem to share is a pervasive sense of cheerfulness and sense of humor. It's somewhat paradoxical that if you go through your own pain, you actually come out the other side realizing that the world is workable and not a heavy, grim place in which to be. So So just to summarize, the main point I want to leave you with is that meditation is a valuable spiritual tool, that it's not escapist, and that it actually is a way to open up more to ourselves and to other people. And for those of you who haven't covered it, I'd really encourage you to look into it. We're going to do a guided practice session of this right now for a few minutes. Please join us. If you have any resistance to it, please don't worry. Just sit quietly. You may find that in spite of yourselves, you join us meditate. But I'd also invite you to join us again on Wednesday nights from 7 to 8 if you'd like to look further into this practice. Thank you very much.